Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift this beautiful Saturday. It feels weird taking a week off. You ever feel that way? Can't seem to get my sorts back.
It's a little odd.
Yeah.
Being away.
Yeah, I don't like it. I'm never taking another day off.
I'm a person of habit and routine, and once that's thrown out of whack, I feel strange.
Yeah, and you were gone. Did we do a show before I left last week?
Yeah, we did a show.
In between your being gone and me being gone.
I did the show last week,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, prior to that, yeah, we did a show.
Yeah, I guess we did. Okay. Yeah. Time flies. It's just part of getting old.
It is. I mean, the time flies by so quick, and if you're a young person, you cannot begin to understand that until you reach our age.
That is correct. I remember my father telling me, and it's Father's Day weekend, I remember my father saying, time speeds up as you get older. You know, and frankly now, 12 months seems like it goes by in three for me. No, literally, I'm winter. I don't even complain about the winter anymore because it comes and goes so quick.
Oh, yeah. And to me, summer's over.
Yeah.
Even though it's just starting.
Kind of feels like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it'll fly by so quick. It'll be a whirlwind. Yeah, when you're a young person and you hear that from an older person, a parent saying how time speeds up, it goes by so quick.
Yeah.
You think, man, that's just some kind of cliche from an old fogey or whatever the term was back then. But because you have no concept when you're younger.
Right.
You have to experience it to understand it.
Age equals MC squared. Or MC Hammer, one or the other.
Yeah, what was his song? I'm so old, I can't even remember his stupid song. He had one hit, right?
All I remember is the baggy pants.
The parachute pants.
Enough to turn me off, yes.
And I remember on The Simpsons, they made a parody of him where his mansion was for sale. I think the IRS was collecting a lien on it.
Yeah.
And the thing was filled with parachute pants.
Parachute pants.
Listen, you can't touch this? That's it, right?
That's right. Can't touch this. Well, you can't touch the show either until we get some business taken care of. Our sponsor this half hour is The Rock Shop. The Rock Shop on Godfredson Road, 734-455-5560. For the best in outdoor improvements, call The Rock Shop. They specialize in retaining walls and patios. They have a great selection of natural and artificial stone products for walkways and yard decorations. Whether you need boulders or fireplace or landscape kits, The Rock Shop on Godfredson Road is conveniently located just north of N14 at exit 15. The Rock Shop also carries landscape supplies, has a fabulous selection of statuary, bird baths, waterfalls, and fountains, as well as a unique gift shop. 734-455-5560 or go to www.rock-shop.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
The common core of way of spelling it.
Old English, Canadian, whatever. Sometimes I'll catch myself spelling color with a U in it. People look at me, I'm an idiot. It's
like
just the way I am.
British.
Or you can go to The Rock Shop. They're on Facebook. Great stuff. Marco and Helena do a great job out there, so go see them. It's a great place to spend half an hour just walking through their stuff, so go out and see them. Okay, so what we do on the Daily Drift every week, or on the Drift every week, is we go over the Daily Drift news, and so much news is there this week between Eric Cantor losing his position, the big underdog, Dave Bratt.
Assume the position.
Yes. And then, of course, the border going crazy, immigration we can talk about, and, of course, Iraq. All three big stories this week, among others. And if you have something else you'd like to discuss, 734-822-1600, you are more than welcome to call in with whatever it is that you've got. But one other thing, it is Father's Day weekend, and today is Flag Day. I didn't put my flag out before I came to the show. Shame on me. Flag Day is June 14th, and it happens to be my mom and dad's 56th anniversary. I'm saying that with a question mark.
Well, congratulations to them. That's great.
Yes.
You don't see that too often
anymore.
They've
done 56 years and shooting for the next biggie at 60. So, mom and dad, happy anniversary to you. Hope you have 56 more. I don't know if I'll ever hit 56. I'll be dead long before then. I got the late start with my lovely wife. But it is what it is. So congrats to them. Let's start with Iraq, dude. I know that's what you wanted to talk about this week.
All right. Should I kick it off?
Kick it off.
Okay. Did you know that ISIS, is the world's richest terrorist organization after their bank heist in Mosul for $450 million score.
Was that Mosul just now?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when they took over Mosul, they just took all the money and all the banks. I'd never even thought about that.
Yeah, so now they have supposedly $450 million to up the ante in arms purchases, bribe people to join their cause. You have to wonder.
Maybe they can pay the United States to get the guys out of Gitmo. Huh? Why not?
Yeah, I don't think they have any interest in doing that. But it makes one wonder where all their money and funding, because, you know, you can't do anything without funding. You have to buy these weapons. You have to have some training. And one has to believe that a lot of that money comes from the Persian Gulf states, right? Because they talk out of two sides of their mouth. You know, they don't want these Wahhabi-type Al-Qaeda terrorists in their country, but they'll certainly fund those people in other countries.
Well, they probably get a lot of weapons, you know, Iraqi guns are only dropped once, right?
Yeah. And speaking of that, of the Iraqi army abandoning their post, and were they at one time trained by Bo Bergdahl?
Oh.
Too soon?
Ow.
Too soon?
I don't know. Is it too soon? I've never seen a guy returning from a theater of war, POW or other, who took so long to get from Germany to here. I mean, we've had guys who are mortally wounded or critically wounded, and they get home faster than that.
Well, they claim that, you know, this is where I will show some sympathy for him as a just a human being. As he and if it's true, I mean, he claims he was held in a box in solitary confinement for 2 years after a supposed attempt at escaping. So that has to play a real toll on your mental and physical being, I would think.
Yeah, we haven't really beat up on him, and I haven't said anything about him prior to, because we don't know. I mean, I can assume.
Well, we do know he walked off his post. I'm absolutely convinced of that.
He walked off his post. I assume the letters and the guys in his unit who have spoken out about it are being honest and forthcoming, and they have been, so we can wait and hear his side of the story. I mean, this is America. We do get that. And I haven't beaten him up too badly. I'm not happy about it. I think it was wrong.
Right. I mean, did he have an intent to go join the Taliban and wage war? I don't believe that. I don't think that's the situation. But did he walk off his post? Apparently, he had done it before.
Yeah. But some reports are stating that the villagers remember him coming from the base, asking for someone who spoke English, looking for the Taliban. Now, I can't imagine the villagers would make that up. What do they got to win out of that? You know, what possibility could there be for them to make up that story? Was he out of his mind on heroin? Was he doing drugs? Was he just maybe a psychotic break? I don't know. But
I think he was a little flaky to begin with, and he was very unhappy where he was stationed and didn't respect the leadership in his unit. So he may, one day have just decided, hey, I'm going to go see what the other side's got to say.
Yeah, well, 2 years in a box, that might be the, you don't join the army if you've got problems.
Not exactly the Geneva Convention following force, the Taliban. We're supposed to give them all these Geneva Convention rights as supposed soldiers, yet look what they do with a person they capture.
Yeah.
I've never understood the mentality here that, well, we're better than that. We're going to give these people American constitutional rights and follow the Geneva Convention because that's what you should do. But the other side that we have fought in all of our wars, pretty much, have never followed any Geneva Convention rules.
Right. Only the good guys do, and we wear the white hats. These people,
to our detriment sometimes.
These people in ISIS, and I was going to call into Linda's show earlier when you guys were talking about
the Wonder Woman
stuff. You know what else ISIS is? Isn't that the name of Archer's group on Cartoon Network?
I don't know
Adult
what Archer's
Swim.
Group
You never
is.
Watch Archer? Oh, my gosh, no. It's funny. I don't get a chance to see it often enough, but I think ISIS is the name of the intelligence.
And I think ISIS is also like a Greek or Roman mythology, too, right?
I want to say Mesopotamian or Egyptian, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, Egyptian. Yes. That sounds more
Egyptian.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was going to
But, yeah, back to ISIS, though. You know, here's the thing. The question is, what should we do about it? Well, how can we not have a plan? Because this has been going on for a while. It's not like yesterday ISIS sprang up and they took over 3-4 major cities in Iraq, right? I mean, I would think satellite reconnaissance and CIA analysis. And we all know that this kind of movement has been going on for a while. But So that blows my mind that we could be taken so off guard. But the question is, what do we do right now? And my thought is, okay, certainly airstrikes, and when I say airstrikes, I mean at all levels, B-52 JDAMs, tactical strafing like from Warthogs. Is that going to, quote, solve the problem and cause us a distinct victory in Iraq over this group? No!
It'll make me feel better.
Well, here's the thing. Are we at war with these people?
Yes.
These people are at war with us. And in fact, this group is so extreme that Al-Qaeda has even claimed that they're too extreme because they alienate the population too much that they take control of. So these people have a 100-year, 200-year outlook on this war. You can't negotiate with them. They're never going to. There's no group to negotiate with for a surrender, and then we all kiss and make up and rebuild. That isn't the case. So if we are in the long haul at war with these people, which we have to be because they are,
yes, those people want to kill us.
And if you can kill as many as you can and then pull out, you're going to have some troops on the ground, I would think. And when I say that, I mean air combat controllers from the Air Force, Special Forces guys to do recon and call in the airstrikes and maybe even help some of the resistance there stop these people. And there's no, quote, good side in this. It's the least bad
that
we got to work with a little bit. Yeah. But we're not going to put in divisions of Marines and conventional forces. That would be stupid. But we do have to go in and kill as many as we can. And then they're saying that even if Obama decides yesterday that he wants airstrikes, that the George H.W. Bush carrier that we're going to have to use is like 2 weeks away from being in position. That we don't have the ability, the strike force there in the Persian Gulf, the most heated, sensitive area of the world for the United States? We're 2 weeks away from doing anything?
Yeah. That's Obama, dude. That makes you believe, and we've said this on every issue since Obama took office, how could they be that stupid, or do they have a hidden agenda?
Yeah, it makes you wonder, because the results almost prove that there is an agenda.
Yeah, nobody could be that stupid.
Conspiracy theory people have a point.
Yeah. Some pundits are saying, because Iran now is saying, we will work with the United States to stop these extremists because they're even too extreme for Iran.
Well, the thing is, it's a Sunni-Shiite proxy war, just like what's going on in Syria.
Yeah.
So you have the Persian Gulf states, the Sunnis, supporting these types of groups in Syria and Iraq. And this is like one group that controls a town or two in Syria as well.
Yes.
That's why the name ISIS, it combines Syria and Iraq. But you also have Iran, which, of course, are the Shiites. And these people have been battling each other for hundreds, if not thousands of years. Yep. And you have the Obama administration and our commander-in-chief himself coming out and saying, well, we don't know what to do, and we're not really going to do anything until they come together, the Shiites and the Sunnis, and so we can work with somebody who has come together. They haven't come together in 1,000 years. You think they're going to come together this week?
Well,
but we may find
Barack
ourselves.
Barack Obama will make them come together.
We may find ourselves inadvertently on the same side with Iran because Maliki, the prime minister of Iraq, is a Shiite. And he is going. He's already done it. He's already started arming informal militias to side with his joke of a national army.
Right.
And Iran, there is no way Iran is going to allow an ISIS-type government across their border to exist with them.
Yeah.
And Maliki and Obama keeps justifying his indecision by saying that Iraq is a sovereign country and they have to work out their own issues. Well, if Maliki gets desperate enough and he says to the Iranians, bring your Revolutionary Guard troops here, I need you, well, then what are we going to do? We can't really stop. I mean,
We'll end up working with them. We're going to run into a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue this discussion because
can you tell I'm a little fired up?
And as you should be, as we all should be. So we'll continue this on the other side of the break. See you there.
Hello, Wham! Listeners, I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of Art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of art, it's about civilization, yours.
Wigs for Kids provides custom-fit, age-appropriate wigs at no cost to Michigan children who are experiencing hair loss as a result of cancer treatment, alopecia, and other medical conditions. For more information on how you can make a contribution to help support the mission of Wigs for Kids, please call 586-772-6656. That's 586-772-6656. There are children that need your help. Support the mission of Wigs for Kids by calling 586-772-6656.
I work hard and I don't want anybody using my money to support things I might not agree with, like the political stuff my union was doing with my dues, and they told me I had to pay them or lose my job. It's good that the National Right to Work Foundation and the U.S. Supreme Court agreed that U.S. workers can't be compelled to support a union's political activities through forced union dues. They helped me get my money back. For free information or help, call National Right to Work at 800-336-3600 or visit nrtw.org.
There are new grants available to help young people fight childhood obesity. Schools and youth-focused, community-based nonprofit programs are eligible for United Health Heroes grants, up to $1,000 to help children learn about childhood obesity and to design, address, and implement programs that help fight it in their communities. To obtain an application, visit ysa.org/heroes. That's ysa.org/heroes. A public service message from United Healthcare, Youth Service America, and this station.
Greetings, my name is Pastor Yule, host of Just Joshua. Just Joshua will be heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. here on Wham! Come journey with us down Freedom's Highway as we discuss today's happenings from a Black conservative Judeo-Christian perspective. Every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., come journey down Freedom's Highway on Just Joshua.
Can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. My.
And
Derek's always on board. He's always listening and he's anticipating our needs and wants on the drift.
That's awesome. Well, we were talking about Iran
and Iraq.
And Iraq and how this could not have been seen. And we've said it a million times. Is it a hidden agenda? Or is the Obama administration that stupid? I mean, even if they are that stupid, I can't believe our Department of Defense, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, don't know that this was going to happen. I'm sure they did.
We have to have assets in the Persian Gulf, like we were saying on break. Kuwait, Qatar. We used to in Saudi Arabia, but we pulled out of there because we thought, oh, okay, Al-Qaeda will then not be so mad at us if we leave. You know, right. You had Ron Paul saying, well, the reason they hate us is because we're there. We're in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Well, we got out of Saudi Arabia. And look what's – I mean, so that's all arguing.
Right. Well, Iran has already said they've sent, I think, 150 of the Revolutionary Guard, which is their elite troops, to help out Maliki. And – I'm sure there's more at the border ready to surge across if they need to.
Oh, absolutely.
And as we were just, we need a camera to keep rolling on our break. Some of our best discussions happen during the break. But in the end, what does this do if we have to do airstrikes that are followed up by Iranian troops helping out the Iraqis to stabilize the country? Have we not just helped make a greater Iran? Will they just absorb Iraq? Will they become a satellite state of Iran?
In a certain sense, southern Iraq already is. I think it's more informal, but I think that what's happening now will allow it to become manifest, where it's a fait accompli. It's a more formal done deal, where it's a satellite of Iran, because right. The Shiites are never going to assimilate with ISIS.
Yeah. Well, there was talk, you know, back at the end of the second Iraq war, when everything was done, of taking Iraq apart, putting it into three parts. The north goes to the Kurds. I think the south would go Shiite. And then the middle and west would go Sunni.
Right.
And, of course, everyone said, no, we can't do that. The Turks didn't like it because they don't want a Kurdish state on their border. At the time, I think Assad didn't want a Western state because he knew he would have problems with the Sunnis there.
Well, almost all the oil is in Kirkuk by the Kurdish area, which the Peshmerga has recently taken over, and I don't blame them one bit to go in there and fill that power vacuum after the illustrious Iraqi army that we funded and trained just ran away like chickens on fire. And then the other part of the oil is in the south.
Yeah.
That the what's the name of the Iraqi city?
If they start
in the
fracking,
south.
They can probably pull oil and gas out of anything.
So, but I think in the middle of it, where most of these crazy Sunnis are that border Syria, there isn't a whole lot of oil. And the other thing, too, you know, we're talking about the Revolutionary Guard coming across. Well, Hezbollah, which is nothing more than a tool of Iran, as we know, in southern Lebanon, came across into Syria to side with Assad, who's an Alawite, which is a branch of Shia Islam. So the Iranians are already in Syria, so to speak, and
right.
there's absolutely no question they wouldn't come into southern Iraq and consolidate that area with their brother Shiites, the Arab Iraqis.
I mean, part of me, I feel bad, and if there's any veterans who served in Iraq, I'd love to have you call in, give us your view, because you are the guys that spelt time and blood and everything else to make it possible for the Iraqis to have freedom, which they've now squandered away, I'm guessing, and do we go back in? Do we not go back in? It's confusing. Do we wait until it becomes even worse? As you said, we're never going to solve the Shia-Sunni problem. That's going to continue for thousands of years more until one side wins. I don't think that religion doesn't allow tolerance of living together.
No, the religion of peace is anything but.
The religion of peace is, yes.
You know, the thing, too, is our guys that served there. You know, the Sunni Awakening, when we started working with the Sunni tribesmen in areas like Ramadi and Fallujah, because they were sick of Al-Qaeda and this ISIS-type mentality. And so we said to them, hey, you know, work with us, and we will fight together against this group that you initially sided with because they're fellow Sunnis, but now you even realize you can't live with them. Well, once we pulled out, and that's something we should touch on, too, should we have ever pulled out the troops that we did. And I'm mixed on that because of the facts of what happened, why we pulled out. But our guys that served there, that worked with these tribesmen and really turned the whole thing around, the really sad thing is once we pulled out, the Shiite-led Maliki government really took advantage of the situation and started crucifying the Sunnis and made
yes.
them very, very unhappy. So that they're saying a lot of these former Ba'athists, these Sunni tribesmen who we worked with at one point, are now working with ISIS because they're so disgusted with the Shiite-led Maliki government that we, you know, essentially helped put in place.
Yeah, Maliki purged the army, purged the government to get rid of the Sunnis, and undid all the cooperation that we were trying to force.
Right.
And maybe that was the point. Maybe we should not be getting involved in other people's problems. I mean, part of me wants to say, you know what? Let's walk away.
Right.
Sell them whatever arms they need to kill each other, and we'll wait until some people with common sense finally become victors, or maybe I don't know if that can happen.
Well,
but I mean, at what point do we just say, let it go?
Well, I agree in the sense that the days of nation building are over, or they should be over. So I don't want to say totally walk away. I think we should be hitting the enemy on the ground however, whenever we can. And the goal shouldn't be We want clear-cut victory by this date because that's never going to happen in our lifetime. No. Ever. Accept that. Accept their mentality and that this is a long war. And as long as you're going to fight us, we're going to fight you. And we're going to let you know about it. And we're going to make it happen.
All right. We got to go. We'll see you on the other side.
People are always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. In the Iraqi conflict, Shiite men stepping forward to fight their aggressors.
Sunni militants are reportedly gaining more ground in Iraq today in the face of the collapse of some Iraqi army units. Reports indicate that insurgents have seized a small town only about 60 miles north of Baghdad after Iraqi security forces pulled out.
Fox's Doug McElway, the governor of Pennsylvania, asking the president to intervene in the Philadelphia transit strike, which affects tens of thousands of commuters. And it caused a frenzy on the West Coast. Now, the hidden cash hunt has come to New York City, with Twitter clues pointing to parts of Central Park.
People have been digging through the bushes. We've seen it. It's actually been happening right behind me. Digging through the bushes, looking under rocks, climbing trees, doing absolutely anything they can to find these hidden envelopes. They contain a $50 bill and a silver dollar inside.
Fox's Laura Engel, the benefactor, is encouraging winners to pay it forward. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Crafters are needed for Old St. Patrick's 38th Annual Labor Day Weekend Festival. It'll now include an arts and crafts show. If you are interested or know of someone who may be interested, go to the website stpatricka2.org for more information. The Ann Arbor Annual Arts and Craft Show, Crafting with Grace, is holding its sixth annual event on Saturday, October 18th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. This is an indoor juried show featuring over 50 very talented artists and crafters from around the state and across the country. The event is held at New Grace Apostolic Temple, 2898 Packard Road in Ann Arbor. A portion of all proceeds fund various community programs. For more information, visit craftingwithgrace.com. Longevity Foundation, the nation's largest lung cancer-focused organization, announces the launch of its Survivor Resource Center to fill a growing need in the lung cancer community. The Survivor Resource Center is a hub for survivors at any stage of their lung cancer journey, looking for support, information about the disease, treatment options, and other resources that can help make coping and living with lung cancer easier. To learn more, visit longevity.org. Teens Using Drugs, What to Know and What to Do is a free ongoing two-part series. Part 1 provides information on how to recognize and understand adolescent substance abuse. Part 2 provides information on what should and should not be done to help when a teen's substance abuse problem is recognized, and concludes with a short talk by a young person in recovery. All presentations are free and open to the public. To learn more, call 734-973-7892 or visit teensusingdrugs.org.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com. You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching our drift. In studio, Brandon Drake with me. And love to be back. Speaking about Iraq, I don't think we're going to get to anything else today by looking at it. Let's take care of our sponsor this half hour, is The Current. If you want to get into the July issue of The Current, you can call me, 734-629-6010. We've got about a week to get your reservation in and be in the July Current. It's the 4th of July issue. It's always a good issue. So a good way to spread your business message by advertising in the Current newspaper. Go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Or how do we say it?
CourantOnline.com.
There you go. Or 734-629-6010. So let's take a call from Jimmy Manchester. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
Hey, I don't mean to change the drift, if you will, of the conversation, but I got something I'd like to run by you. Glenn Beck has been talking about the fact that he believes that we're engaged in a civil war in this country. And I think that what is going on, when I look at it politically and economically, whatever, we're just persons, just people, especially running a campaign for my wife out here in Manchester. It looks more like the revolution to me. You've got factions within political parties that want to, I mean, you might have a civil war going on inside the Republican Party, and then you've got people that are indifferent to the entire situation. They're the, you know, what time is the game on people, as Theron says. And then you've got people that say, oh, there's nothing going on. There's nothing. Everything's fine. The government's going to take care of us. We're going to be fine. And you have people that are just sick of the lawlessness like we are. I mean, to me, I don't believe that we're at civil war stage. I think that's a real scary place to go. I think we're more leaning more toward the mindset of in the 1700s. I mean, that's, and I've wondered, I want to run that by you, because you guys seem to have a pretty good idea about those types of issues. What do you guys think?
Well, I said this in 2012, that we've hit rock bottom and there's going to be a change. People have seen it, and we will swing back the other direction from this progressive left nonsense. Well, we didn't. We reelected Barack Obama. I don't know that we'll ever have an armed conflict here, other than what you see, the riots occasionally, the knockout game. I think that violence is going to probably continue for a while. I think things are going to get worse, Jimmy. I'm not saying that there will be a civil war, people with guns. I think more people who are responsible will act more responsible, get more involved, and in the end, the pendulum will swing the other way. I think that's just society in general. It's not constant. It never stays in the middle. Human nature makes a swing from one end to the next. I think that's, call it a balance, call it whatever you want. We are out of balance right now, but not enough to swing back the other direction yet. But I think that time is coming. And when you see a society like Iraq blown out to the point where they're cutting heads and hands off of people, I don't think that'll ever happen here in the United States, just because I think we are the most civilized nation on earth. I really believe that. I want to believe that anyways.
Well, we have a rule of law here. I don't think that this revolution that we're engaged in is going to ever go hot. I don't really believe that. I think that it's going to be political. It's going to be voters getting involved. That's what I believe. I don't think that we'll ever see like a real armed, unless they really go like Nazi Germany and go totally insane. We still have the rule of law in this country, and the biggest thing is that people are beginning to figure out that they are truly the government. These people that we elect are nothing more than representatives, and we can throw them out anytime we want to.
As we saw with Eric Cantor this week, you are right. We can do that, but that's beholden on us as voters to say enough is enough. I'm not going to reelect John Boehner. I'm not going to reelect someone who's been in there for 24 years like Eric Cantor. People have to do. And as you guys said earlier, he spent $120,000 versus $5 million and still won, because yep, the people were tired. The people showed up who really cared. The people who had common sense said enough is enough. I'm not saying Eric Cantor is a bad guy, but he had thrown his lot in with the big government, with the big bankers, and turned his back on what people wanted. And I believe, and I think you're with me on this, he was looking at amnesty. And you know what? We can talk about amnesty all we want after you seal the border. That's, I don't want to talk about anything as far as amnesty until that happens.
Hey, Jimmy, let me ask you a question. I know that you're a fan of Alex Jones, right? Am I correct on that?
Well, I listen to him. I don't know if I'm the same fan of Alex Jones as I am of Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh. I treat them all the same.
Okay.
I think they're all full of it.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think a big part of Alex Jones's message is that you know, the so-called global elite and the bankers and the people with a lot of wealth control everything, and we're just puppets, and that our going to the polls and voting really doesn't count for anything because it's already pre-decided by a certain select group of people. Am I correct? And that's kind of one of the things that Alex Jones talks about.
Yeah. He certainly believes that, but okay. he believes that it can be changed, and I believe it can be changed too. We're already seeing it.
But if he preaches that mentality, doesn't the Brat victory totally contradict what he's saying?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Of course it does. You're absolutely right about that. And what I'm seeing in my wife's campaign here is that people, they don't even care about the state and the federal government anymore. They're more worried about what's going to happen in Manchester than they are in, or the county, you know, as far as that goes, than they are in Lansing or in Washington, D.C. They don't care. They're like, well, let them pass whatever law they want. We can just ignore it, you know, and they're right. I mean, we do have the right to do that. So, you know, it's getting to be, that's kind of where I'm getting at. That's where the revolution is that people are beginning to say, you know what, we're just going to ignore you. We don't even care anymore.
But, Jimmy, since you're kind of beating around and not coming out, what is your wife running for? You might as well plug it.
She's running for treasurer.
Oh, okay. Treasurer for Manchester Township, city?
Yes. The Manchester Township, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, yeah, you good got a, you got a website or anything you want to give out?
Well, you can... it's Rebecca Pratt at Facebook.
Okay,
it's
Rebecca Pratt at Facebook.
Has.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's grassroots, and that's where it comes from. So we say that all the time here on The Drift, too. The most important elections are always your local elections, your school board, your township, your city, your county.
Well, at a certain level, the Brat victory is a local election because he's a representative, albeit in the federal government, but he's a representative for that district in Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, exactly, and we're doing very well. We've made a lot of good inroads with Tim Walberg. I'm not against him in any way. I just think he was misguided, and there was somebody up in, let me just say, it's Mike Rogers. I don't like him. I never have liked him, and that's just the way it is. He's, you know...
Well, he'll have a talk show for you to call into come January, so you can explicitly tell him that when you get the chance.
Well, yeah, if it lasts long enough for me to get through. You know, he's just going to – he's the man's a fascist. He really is. And I understand that because he was an FBI agent, and he just wants more power for – you know, he wants to be able to investigate things and not let people hide. You know, it's, wait a minute. You know, it gets to a point where you're barking up the wrong tree. You're on fishing expeditions and you're not really doing anything good. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it'll be interesting to watch if his tune changes when he becomes a radio talk show host. So that'll be interesting. Well, anything else, Jimmy, you want to talk about?
No, that was about it. Okay. I just, and the one thing I will say about Iraq, if we had never went there in the first place, we probably wouldn't be having this problem right now.
No, absolutely not, because Saddam Hussein would have beheaded all those who stood up against him like he always has. I mean, he ruled by force and lived by the sword, died by the sword. That's what happened.
Yeah, you may not have the problem that the specific problem that we're talking about right now because of his iron-fisted rule, but you would still have other problems. Mm-hmm. And that's what people seem to forget, that there's kind of proclivity to assume that, well, if we hadn't have done anything, it would be the Garden of Eden over there. Everybody would be happy, peaceful, and I don't think that's true at all.
I agree with what you're saying. It would not be the Garden of Eden, but one of the things that I will say about Saddam Hussein is that he brought stability to that area because he was such a jerk, but he was our jerk.
Well, I take exception with that. He was not our jerk.
Not at the end.
In his
early years,
not,
maybe, but
no,
not at
no,
the end.
Not, and that's a myth, not at the beginning either.
Because he was trading oil for euros and doing some other things that they didn't, the bankers didn't like. I mean, it does come to that. I mean, Putin's doing that too. He's not, they're going to start trading natural gas in euros and gold and some other things and get away from the U.S. dollar.
Saddam was never our ally, and nor was he ever our puppet. And we did not give him weapons of mass destruction. Just because Rumsfeld went over there and shook his hand at one point, people look at that and say, you see right there. That's a load of crap.
We did support him against Iran back in the day.
We supported him in the sense he wasn't.
He became our enemy. We supported
Saddam in the sense that we did not want the Iranians to win. We gave satellite intel to the Saudis, who passed it along to Saddam, where concentration of Iranian troops were. And true, he did use gas against those Iranians. But I do believe that we did not want either side to win because we weren't on the side of any of these people. There's no way we were weapons to both sides.
I mean, it's the way it's always been.
What weapons? When you looked at the battlefield during the Iraq-Iran war, after the Persian Gulf War, after the 2003 invasion, where are all those American weapons strewn about the battlefield? People say that, but there was no American. The helicopters were Soviet. The Mirage fighters were from France. The tanks were Soviet. Did we send some dual-use agricultural equipment there? Yeah. But most of that, the conventional weapons and the ability to make the gas, that came mainly from Europe.
Right.
Because they had actively trading arrangements with them, whereas we did not.
That's what I'm getting at. It's not that we sold them the weapons directly. We gave them foreign aid, and then they used the foreign aid to buy the weapons from Russia. I mean, I understand that.
Foreign aid?
And it's not a big thing. I mean, I get it. Yeah, that's what
they do. I disagree with that, too.
You know.
Okay.
We did not give Iraq foreign aid.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, we'll continue that. So we kind of got away.
Yeah, we can go a whole show on that. Easy,
but we'll go back to it. But thanks for the call, Jimmy. Appreciate it, and good luck in the election. Let us know how it's going farther down the road.
I will. You have a good day.
Okay,
you too, Jimmy.
You too. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to try and get back on track with Iraq. See you on the other side.
Max Marina in beautiful downtown Whitmore Lake and a new location in South Lyon is the place for all your boating needs. Boat and dock slip rentals, dock sales, and new boat sales. Sun Chaser pontoons, all powered with Yamaha outboards. Max Marina carries all your marine accessories. Max Marina is an authorized Yamaha repair facility. You can trust Max Marina to provide professional, certified repair service for all makes and models, from a basic tune-up to a complete engine rebuild. Come in now to get a summer startup for just $89.95. Max Marina is right off US 23 at exit 53, or call 734-449-4706 to schedule your boat for pickup. That's 734-449-4706. For more information, visit maxmarina.com. That's maxmarina.com. Let Max Marina earn your business.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of the Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Dr. Michael Singleton offers family dentistry you can trust with over 20 years of experience in all areas of dentistry. Multiple ways to enhance your smile, from simple whitening to complete veneers, same-day crowns, laser cavity detection, preventative, restorative, and advanced cosmetic dentistry. It's tomorrow's dentistry today. Open Monday through Saturday at 7 a.m. with late evening hours to fit your schedule. Contact Dr. Michael Singleton at 1081 North Ann Arbor Street in Saline, Michigan, or call 734-429-7415 or visit them on the web at singletonsmiles.com.
What's in the word intelligence? The ability to comprehend, to understand, and to profit from experience. New information about specific and timely events. Bill Bennett's Morning in America. Intelligence, what you need to know for your day. Morning in America, has it dawned on you?
A perfect addition to your morning. That's Morning in America, 6 a.m. to 9, right here on Wham. You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. Send the Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch the Drift. Got a bluster up over Iraq with the Dragster.
Well, I'm just saying that this equipment that Saddam used against Iran, Iraq was a Soviet client state during the Cold War, and I keep hearing that how we provided Iraq with the training, with the equipment, with all this stuff, and it's a load of crap. Yeah, did we give them credits for agricultural equipment? Yes. Did we provide them some intel against Iran when we didn't want the Iranians to win, obviously?
We provided them several billion dollars worth of aid. Now, you and I can argue all day long whether it was agricultural credits or it was billions of dollars that he then bought.
We can argue all day long, but you have no specific anything to back that line up except a line out of Wikipedia.
I just started.
Right, but I'm not going to let that go because I do not, based on everything I've ever read, I've never seen.
Based on what you've read, but you're not giving me any proof that he didn't as well. So, we'll drop that. I mean, Jimmy's saying it. I'm reading it. You can claim that, but I am not.
You're reading something, a one-liner out of Wikipedia.
Then for next week.
I'll challenge you to this then. Read the book, King of Terror. It's about Saddam, written by a British journalist. He details in there where his stuff came from.
Do you have that book still?
I got it from the library. I read it
from
the library.
Can you get it and bring it in next week?
No, you got to go get that on your own. Yes.
Well, I guess I'm just going to agree and disagree with you on
but
this.
But what I'm telling you, though, is I have read hundreds of pages detailing out all the equipment purchases from European suppliers and some South American suppliers and the Soviet Union, which Iraq was a client state, okay? And you're saying I'm all wrong and can't prove anything.
Boy, are you defensive today.
I'm not being defensive. I'm not going to let someone read something out of Wikipedia and say imply that I'm wrong.
I didn't imply that you're wrong. I believe that we did provide aid to them, and that's the way I'm looking at it. Let's take a call from Jerry in Ann Arbor. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Hey, hi, fellas.
Hey.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, just a couple quick things, and this is about Bo.
About what?
Did either of you hear a brief blurb on the news this week that prior to him being in the armed forces, he had...
Oh, Bergdahl you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, he had attempted to join the Coast Guard, and he did not make it through their basic training, and they gave him discharge.
Yeah, I saw that story as well.
Yeah, so for whatever reason, you were saying, Gary, he shouldn't even been in the Army.
Yeah, I agree. He should not have probably joined the Army. If he did, maybe he wanted to see the world, but I'm not sure joining the Army during Afghanistan and Iraq conflict is the time to see the world.
Maybe him and Snowden were roommates at one point during their military career.
Yeah, I think we need to all relax and get hopefully the government will give us the answers, and the journalists will look for those answers, and we'll find out more about Mr. Bergdahl, Sergeant Bergdahl. I think it's too soon for any of us to make that decision, though I got to be honest with you. I'm going to err on the side of our troops that served with him who said he walked away. He's at least a deserter and may or may not have cooperated with the Taliban, being 2 years in a box or not. I don't know. Yeah, I want to wait. Well, I'm not going to sit in judgment because I don't know enough information. So I wouldn't make that judgment not knowing the information, you know.
Yeah, there's all sorts of strange indicators, but no, hopefully the truth will out, and they'll have the right people doing the investigation and doing it properly. The other thing I wanted to mention in regards to what you're speaking in terms of Iraq, I think everybody has mixed feelings about that in terms of what happened on 9/11, and we were the people that were attacked. Our people were the people that were burned alive in those buildings. And a lot of people, not many people agree totally on how it should have been done. Something had to be done. Something was done. Thank God it was. That's the way I see it. You know, I don't think we had we did not have a personal military presence in Iraq till after that incident.
Well, over a decade of sanctions clearly weren't working. We had the no-fly zones, and everybody was accusing the United States of supposedly causing over 1 million Iraqi children to starve to death because of these sanctions. I mean, the bad press that we got for trying to enforce the rules that Saddam agreed to for a ceasefire after the Persian Gulf War, the bad press that we got was over the top. So,
right, certainly. Well, that's the media for you. But, you know, also, when Frontline, the program on PBS, used to be on the air, now I'm talking way back now in the 90s, they actually had a very good documentary on the WMDs. They had film footage of the cyclotrons being moved out before there was going to be a serious investigation with the proper people doing it. And they had, like you were saying, they had Russian nomenclature on some of these things. But by real, I mean, they were moving all sorts of stuff around. Now, this was in the mid-90s, but it was on film. Frontline did it. They're not really they did a good job on their documentary. So,
you know, of all things, too, the Germans, you know, at Samara, and this was during before and during the Iran-Iraq War, Saddam had hired these technicians from Germany to come in at the town of Samara to help him create the gas that was used on the Iranians.
Yeah, well, not only gas on Iranians,
and the Kurds.
He was supplied with chemicals. He murdered his own people. He poisoned the river where the Marsh Arabs resided. This guy was killing people.
Yeah, he was. Thanks.
Murdering.
Jerry.
Murdering.
Jerry, we're up against the end of the show.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Thanks for the call, and call in next week. We'll probably have to continue. I'm sure this story will still be hitting next week. So call in next week. Until then, stay tuned to The Daily Drift. See ya. Bye-bye.